Turn to the second book of Kings and chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, we read the following from verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they two went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Came to pass, as Elijah and Elisha went on and taught, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elijah is that remarkable prophet of God, of whom we read most about in the first book of Kings. In the second book of Kings, we read of how his ministry is succeeded by Elisha, who follows him. Both remarkable men of God, greatly used by the God who sent them to preach his gospel. Men sent of God, determined, steadfast, devoted, men who cared not for their own gain, but for the glory of God. men who knew persecution and hardship, men who had the opposition of so many against them, men who knew what it was to have their lives threatened, to face death, and yet who were given that faith to stand before God and not compromise his truth, even if it meant that they should be persecuted unto the grave. We read of Elijah at the start of his ministry saying, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand." As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. That was where he stood. That was what shaped his ministry. He knew he stood before the living God. He knew God had sent him. And he knew that if God had sent him and God was with him, then man could do nothing to him. Though men may slay him, yet as another said, he would still praise God. He was a burning fire in the hand of God. A burning fire for the gospel. And this picture of fire follows Elijah and Elisha throughout their ministries. Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18 is brought to stand before the prophets of Baal and brought to challenge them to show whether their God be true or whether his God is true. And the prophets of Baal tried to bring down fire from heaven from their God, and nothing came because they worshipped a dumb idol. And yet Elijah took his sacrifice and poured water all over it so that naturally it could not burn. And when he called upon the Lord's name, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." Here in chapter 2 of 2 Kings, Elijah's ministry comes to a close and he's about to be taken up to heaven to be with his Lord and Master. And the other prophets in the various places which he visits with Elisha, in Bethel, in Jericho, in Jordan, all come and say to Elisha, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And Elisha said, "Yea, I know it." He knew that Elijah would be taken. But when Elijah is taken, he does not die as others die. But the Lord took him up into glory. And there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. When he parted from Elisha, there were chariots and horses of fire. Here we see the fire again. Fire. Likewise, in chapter 6, when we read of Elisha standing before the Syrians who come to attack Israel, we read that Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open the eyes of this young man, that he may see. That he may see that I do not stand alone, though I am thy lone messenger to this people. That I am not alone. That there are those in heaven, there are those in glory who stand with me." And the Lord answered Elisha's prayer, and the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. a great army supported the lone servant of God. In the natural sense, he stood alone in a world of opposition. But horses, spiritual horses, and chariots of fire stood around him. Why fire? Why fire? Because fire speaks of two great things. Firstly, the judgment and the wrath of God against sin and against evil men. That wrath which came down upon the sacrifice which Elijah offered, which demonstrated that God, the God of Israel, is the one true and living God. And which in type and figure pointed the people to that sacrifice which was to come, which God would send for sinners, even his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God would give as a sacrifice to die in the place of sinners, a perfect man in the place of sinful men. The one man who never sinned, the one man who could reach from God to man, because he was both God and man. God sent his Son as a sacrifice. He sent him to the cross at Golgotha. He had him nailed to the cross. He had him offered up as a sacrifice. And at the cross, God laid upon him the sins of his people. And at the cross, he poured down his fires of wrath and judgment upon his own Son. The fires burnt him up and consumed the sacrifice, so that the sin and the sins of Christ's people throughout all time should be taken away forever, so that the judgment should be quenched, so that God's wrath should be appeased, and so that his mercy and love and righteousness should be made known to that people in saving their souls from condemnation. Have you looked and beheld upon the sacrifice consumed by the fires of God? Yes, fire speaks of judgment, but fire speaks also of righteousness, because that judgment was a judgment of righteousness. God must offer his Son as a sacrifice, because he could not simply forgive our sins by turning a blind eye to them. They must be dealt with justly and righteously. His righteousness is such that to save sinners, their sins must be blotted out and judged, that he might make us perfect as those who no longer have sin. He cannot overlook it. So judge it he must, and if he could not judge it in them because they would be destroyed in wrath forevermore, then he must judge it in a substitute. And the only one he could send as a substitute for sinners was his only begotten Son. The fire of righteousness. Elijah's whole ministry pictured this: the judgment and the righteousness of God. He began with fire, and he was taken up with a chariot of fire and horses of fire. He was a burning fire. We read in the Psalms God's description of those whom he sends as his ministers, his messengers. It says in Psalm 104:4 that God maketh his angels his messengers spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. Flaming fire, flames of fire, they burn brightly in a dark and an evil world, and they make known the righteousness of God, because they are sent as preachers of righteousness. Think of Moses when he sent forth to Egypt to deliver God's people. He's brought to stand before a flaming bush, a burning bush which was never consumed. that bush which burnt under the wrath of God, the judgment and the righteousness of God, that bush which was a figure of Christ. Moses took the shoes off from his feet, for he stood on holy ground. He was beholding a figure, a picture of his Saviour crucified, burnt up for him under God's wrath. And yet as he beheld that the bush was not consumed. The sin was consumed, but Christ was never. As God, he would rise again from the grave. He was slain upon the cross. He was burnt under the wrath of God. Our sins were wiped out in him, destroyed in him, condemned in him. But he himself had power to lay down his life and power to take it up again. Yes, we see fire in Elijah's ministry. And as we've seen in Elisha's ministry also, when he stands as God's messenger, his prophet before the people, and the chariots of fire are round about him, the hosts of God round about him. He may be alone. He may simply stand declaring the message of God, but that message which he declared was a message of righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness. He preached the gospel. And there's a power in the gospel which brings forth the horses and the chariots of fire of God's host, so that none can stand against it, no matter how great they are, no matter how many in number they are. The world can fight against God's gospel with all its might. The media and the governments can condemn believers and condemn the truth and silence the sound of it all they might. But they'll never take it away. They will never silence it. It will always rise again because God is the one who speaks. He is as a lion who roars. And when he roars, people hear. And when Elisha stood and preached that gospel, the power of that gospel went forth, because therein in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. Elisha, his name means "my God is salvation." And here, when Elijah is taken from him, and the mantle of Elijah is sent down and falls upon Elisha as the one who should follow him, we see a tremendous picture of salvation. He's sent as a messenger of salvation. He's sent to declare that God saves, not man, not us, not our works, not our righteousness, not our decision, but God saves. God is salvation. God has done it all and will do it all. God sent forth his Son to save a people. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He shall. Not he shall attempt to save all men from their sins if they will, but he shall save his people from their sins. Christ came and laid down his life for the elect, for his people, for the sheep, not for the goats. And in laying down his life for that people, he saved them. And all that remains to be done is for the message of that salvation to come unto their ears by the Spirit of God through the preaching of his gospel, to make it known and to bring them to the knowledge and assurance of that salvation. But he saved them, and he saves them, and he sends his gospel to make it known to them. And Elisha is sent to preach it, and his very name declares it. My God is salvation. He comes preaching the same message that is Master Elijah preached, and how we see his devotion to Elijah and his ministry, and the way in which Elijah walked. For Elijah walked by the right way. I will lead them forth by the right way, God says in Psalm 107. And Elijah walked by the right way, not by his strength, not by his wisdom, not because he worked out the right way to go, but because God sent him and led him and said, go here, Elijah. Throughout this passage, we read that Elijah says unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to. The Lord hath sent me to Bethel. The Lord hath sent me to Jericho. The Lord hath sent me to Jordan. The Lord sent and called Elijah and sent him here and sent him there. And Elijah went where he was sent. God put faith in his heart. God put the strength of grace in his bones. And God led him where he sent him. And Elisha followed. Oh, how he follows his master. Elijah said unto Elisha, verse 2, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Later Elijah says unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he says, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Later, tarry here, I pray thee, Elijah says unto Elisha, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. How he follows his master. He will not leave him. He will not be separated from him. He's one with him. Where he goes, he goes. He's a follower, a disciple. He loves him. He loves his God. He loves his ways. He will not leave him. In this, we see Elisha pictured as the disciple of Christ, and Elijah here as Christ who leads his disciples. And Elisha will not leave Elijah as the disciple, as the child of God, will not leave Christ. And if Christ says, I am going to Bethel, then the child of God says by faith, then I will go with thee to Bethel. I will not leave thee. Thou art the Son of the living God, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, which it does, I will not leave thee. And when Christ says he will go to Jericho, the disciple of Christ, his child says, I will not leave thee, I am coming. And when he says, I will go to Jordan, the child of God would long to go to Jordan too. Three times over, Elijah says, tarry here. I am going here, the Lord has sent me here. And three times over, Elisha responds, I will not leave thee. Oh, the devotion. He will not let him go. Just as with Ruth and Naomi, Ruth would not leave her mother-in-law Naomi. She loved her and her God and her ways, and she would stay with her. And the disciples of Christ, believers, when they've been brought to know who Christ is and his salvation, they will not leave him. When he says to them, will you go away? They say unto him, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. To whom else shall we go? So they follow. So they follow. First to Bethel, then to Jericho, then to Jordan. Now, what are these places to which the Lord God sent Elijah? and with him Elisha. What are these places to which the Lord God sent Christ and with him his bride and his children? First Bethel, then Jericho, then Jordan. They're not random places. And this is not a random account. This is not simply an account of several places that the message, that the prophet of the Lord was sent to preach. And Elisha follows him there. But there is meaning in the places recorded and meaning in this passage. First Bethel, then Jericho, then Jordan. Bethel is the house of God. Jericho is the city of man. And Jordan is a river of death. Christ came from heaven's glory, from the house of God. He came from that place in which God's people go to worship God. And he came, as it were, from heaven, from Bethel, to the world of darkness and a world of sinners where you and I dwell. In the depths of rebellion, the depths of corruption, in darkness, stumbling about, wasting our time, heading for destruction. He came to where you and I dwell, in a city of man, in a Jericho. He came into this world, to a Jericho, a walled city, to deliver a people, to lead them back unto himself and to his God, into the house of God, unto Bethel. He comes from Bethel, as it were. Then he goes to Jericho, to a walled city. A walled city where you cannot enter unless the walls are brought down. When Israel journeyed into Canaan and came to Jericho, they marched around the walls of the city. And after seven circuits, the walls came tumbling down. And they came tumbling down when the trumpets were blown, when the horns were blown, when the gospel was preached. The horn, the pipe of the gospel. And when Christ comes to the Jericho of our hearts, to the walled city of our hearts, he will enter in when the walls come tumbling down. And they come tumbling down when we hear the sound of the pipes of the gospel, the horns of the gospel, the power of the gospel. Our hearts are walled. They're set up solid against God and his truth. We will not hear. We refuse to hear. We want to go and live our lives as we will. We will not serve God. We will not hear of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We will not believe in him. We will not believe in the true and living God. We will not believe in the Creator who made us, to whom we are accountable. We will not believe that he made this world in 6 days. And rested the seventh. We will not believe that he made a man and a woman first, Adam and Eve, and that they sinned. We will not believe that their sin and death by sin passed down by natural generation unto us. We will not accept that as a consequence we are sinners under judgment. We will not accept that God is right and just to condemn us for our sins. And we will, as those who are sinners, not come unto Christ for salvation. Our hearts are steadfast, they're walled against the truth. And unless the walls are broken down, nothing enters in. God can send Elijah to preach his gospel to you and stand before you in power with chariots of fire round about him, and you will not hear. He can send an Elisha unto you to stand before you. And he can stand around him with horses and chariots of fire, and your eyes are blinded, like the young man who could not see. And you see no horses and no chariots, you just to see a man and hear the words of a man. But if God opens your eyes to see the horses and the chariots of fire round about him, and God breaks down the walls of your heart by his gospel, then salvation comes to your door. Yes, Elijah was sent first to Bethel, the house of God, then to Jericho, and thence from Jericho to Jordan. Because the only way that the walls of the heart, the walls of your hard heart in Jericho can be brought down, is if one goes to Jordan, the river of death, and enters into Jordan and takes upon himself the wrath of God for you, to take away your sins, to be judged and to be slain for you. If your heart will break, you need to see the one who went to Jordan for sinners and was bruised and was broken and was slain and was burnt under the wrath of God for sinners such as you. So Elijah went to Jordan, and Elisha would follow him. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. These others came to see what would happen at Jordan, as others stood around the cross when Christ went into the rivers of Jordan for his people. They came and they stood. But though they went to the brink of Jordan, they could not go where Christ went. As Christ would tell his disciples, I go to a place where you cannot follow, but later you will be with me. Yes, his people are crucified with him, but not in the way in which he is. Only he could drink the cup of God's wrath. Only he could take the fires of God's wrath in Jordan. So Elisha comes to Jordan with Elijah. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters of Jordan, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Because Elijah was there, Elisha could go over with him on dry ground. But it was Elijah's mantle that divided the waters. We're reminded here of how Israel went across Jordan on dry ground. And God keeps taking this same message throughout the scriptures and keeps repeating it and keeps making known that there is this river through which we must pass on dry ground. And it's this mantle which smote the waters that made the way through plain. Came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. He said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and taught that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. The mantle of Elijah. Oh, this passing through on dry ground, how we see the cross here. And the mantle that Elijah struck on the waters, what is it but the righteousness of God? That in which he was clothed, that which he wore as his garment, righteousness. Only righteousness can divide the waters. Only God's judgment in righteousness can divide the waters, can separate our sins, can take them away, can put dry ground where the sins once ran. That mantle, that is what Elisha needed to be clothed in if he was to go forth and preach the gospel that he had once heard from Elijah's lips. And that mantle is what came down, fell down from heaven as Elijah was taken up from him. That mantle. Elisha's righteousness is whereas nothing worth, they were filthy rags. His righteousness could not save him. His righteousness could not take him through the waters. His righteousness could not take him through Jordan, but the mantle of Elijah, the righteousness of God in which he was clothed, could. So we read in verse 12 that Elisha, when he saw it and saw the chariot of fire and the horsemen and saw Elijah taken from him, took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He knew they were of nothing worth. And unless you come to this point of knowing that your righteousness, your works, your decisions, your will are of nothing worth, then you'll never know what it is to be clothed in the mantle of God, in the righteousness of God by the faith of Jesus Christ. You'll not know salvation until your righteousnesses are rent in twain. But Elisha saw. He saw Elijah. He saw the miracle that Elijah wrought at Jordan. He saw through him unto Christ, his Saviour, at the cross, taking away his sin. And he saw the mantle drop down upon him as Christ was taken out of his sight, as pictured by Elijah. Elijah is taken up in a whirlwind by the breath of God, as it were. The Spirit of God, as it were, came down and took Elijah up. The breath, the Spirit of God, that breath which breathed life into man in the beginning and which takes up Elijah at the end. That breath which in the gospel breathes life into dead and fallen sinners. That breath which you need to feel breathing upon you as it breathes the knowledge of Christ in his gospel and takes up Christ as a glorious Saviour into the heights of heaven above to sit and to reign and to preach his gospel from that height, from whence he sends it forth. That breath. We need the Spirit of God to know these things, otherwise they're just words. But when God preaches his gospel, he comes by his Spirit, he breathes. There's a whirlwind. When the power of the gospel breaks down the walls of our heart, there is, as it were, a whirlwind. We hear like we've never heard. We see like we've never seen. We feel like we've never felt. We feel the love of God rushing into our heart. We feel the forgiveness of sins, which once only brought us guilt and a dreadful fearing of destruction to come. We feel the Spirit's influence as he makes known Christ And as he takes his mantle of righteousness and wraps us in it, and we know that we are right and righteous with God, at peace with God because we're wrapped in the mantle, the righteousness of God. There's no sin, and no sin to be brought into God's sight. And when we come to see this, we may take up the mantle as Elisha took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters, and we may cry out, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is my God? Show me that thou art real. I must know the one true and living God. Nothing short of real religion will do. I don't want the notion. I want to know that I have the mantle, the righteousness of God. I want to know that thou art mine. Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when God in grace puts that mantle upon us, that righteousness, and strikes the waters with it, we see them part hither and thither. And Elisha went over and we go over. And we enter into heaven's glory, eternal glory. We know we have everlasting life. Here now in this world we enter. We cross over Jordan and we know the waters are parted. We know our sins are forgiven. We know we're clothed in this mantle. We've seen Christ ascended. We've seen his spirit coming down as cloves of fire upon his disciples, as they did on the day of Pentecost. It's happened to us. The gospel's come in power. The spirit has breathed upon us, and the spirit has come down as a clove of fire upon us. And we know our sins are no more. Do you? Do you know your sins are no more? Has God made this known unto you? Has the mantle, the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, fallen down upon you? When it happened to Elijah, the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, and they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. They saw it. And when God saves sinners, as he did the disciples of Christ, and sends his spirit unto them as he did at Pentecost, he sends them forth as lights in a dark world, as ministers of flaming fire. He makes his angel spirits. He makes his ministers of flaming fire. They're sent forth to stand and to declare that Christ, their Saviour, their Elijah, has gone to Bethel. He's gone to Jericho. And he's gone to Jordan for me. And at Jordan, he's taken the fire and quenched it. He's divided the waters hither and thither. And with him I have gone through on dry ground. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, I declare that Christ is my Saviour. And I declare that though I stand alone, that if your eyes should be opened by the same gospel which opened my blind eyes, for once I was blind but now I see, but if the same gospel should open your eyes which have opened mine, then you will see and behold that the mountain round about me is full of horses and chariots of fire, as they were around about Elisha. Praise God. Amen.